Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Jesus, I thank you for who you are. As we look into a little farther about who you are, I'm asking that you would cause faith to arise, that you would cause hope in you to arise. I pray that we would see who you are and who we are called to be in relationship to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Didn't the kids do a great job this morning? Yeah. I love to see them participating. It's good. Well, today, as you've heard, is the first Sunday of Advent. I love this kind of time of year. Start to see the lights, and beautiful back here. I love the excitement of the kids, the anticipation of the parents, and I especially love the Christmas meals. Yeah, I love the Christmas meals, yeah. Hey, shout out to Kevin, and the Christmas banquet was wonderful on Wednesday. Yeah, give him a round of applause. 118 people, and it was you could tell that there was just joy in the room, and I was very, very thankful for that. Advent's also a season, as I said, where we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus again into our lives in a deeper and deeper way. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but by his Spirit, he comes to us again and again. And he talks to us, and he encourages us, and he speaks to us. When we celebrate Jesus, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, but sometimes what happens is we get so familiar with the story. We've heard the story over again. We've heard the stories of Jesus again and again. And sometimes we even get sentimental about the stories, and especially around Christmas time when, you know, the little baby laying in a manger. How can you not get sentimental about that? But sometimes we miss it, and sometimes we see Jesus through our own cultural lens, kind of see him as a white Canadian, and we miss the raw, beautiful, wondrous story of who Jesus really is. So this week I'm starting a series entitled The Jesus I Never Knew, and I'm going to riff off of some of the stuff in Philip Yancey's book of the same name. It is my prayer that what happens in these next 4 weeks will grow your faith, will help you to see Jesus in some fresh ways and through some new lenses, and to fall in love with him all over again. If that happens, your hearts will be more, will be full of worship. It will connect you to God in a deeper and substantial way. And if that happens, you will be more like God, because as Jesus shows himself to us, we tend to move towards him and become like him. So this morning, I want to look at the uniqueness of Jesus, how Jesus was foretold. There are some people, because of who their accomplishments, become legends. Normally people become legends after they die. Some people become legends while they're still alive. Maybe in Canadian folklore, Wayne Gretzky might be the closest person to that, a legend while he was still living. But Jesus is the only person who ever became a legend before his time. He was made famous before he was born. He was the people's hero before he appeared in space and time on this earth in Bethlehem. Prophet after prophet spoke of him. They told what the Messiah would be like. Jesus was this legend before his time and in his time and most definitely after his time. So today, for this first part, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through some of the prophecies of Jesus and their fulfillment. I hope that you will come to see that Jesus was no ordinary man. I'm hoping that this will help confirm your faith. I'm hoping that if you are a follower of Jesus, that you will have the sense of, yeah, what I believe in makes sense. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm hoping that this spurs you on towards faith in Jesus. I'm going to walk you through some of the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, and then after the fulfillment, and look at the fulfillment in the New Testament. So hang on to your hats. We're going to cover a lot of scripture right now. So let's go. 700 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Isaiah wrote this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Fulfillment, you will conceive, the angel said, and give birth to a son. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? 700 years before BC, the prophecy. Next slide, please. Next slide. Oh, there. Oops. Sorry. I missed that one. Back one. Thank you. 700 years, prophecy about the Messiah's place of birth. But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come from me, for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old. Matthew, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea. 710 BC, the prophet Hosea records, and out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew records, so he, Joseph, got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. 700 BC, Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John records in his gospel, John the Baptist replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. 520 years before Christ, Zechariah records, I told them, if you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it. But they paid him 30 pieces of silver. Fulfillment, Matthew, what are you willing to give me, Judas, if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. 1,000 years before Christ was born, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. But if a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. Fulfillment, Matthew. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greeting, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend. Then the man stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. 520 years before Christ, the prophet wrote, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they value me. So I took 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter at the house of the Lord. Fulfillment, Matthew. Chapter 27. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, it's against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy a potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. 1,000 years before Christ was born, ruthless witnesses come forward. They question me on things I know nothing about. Fulfillment. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. 700 years before Jesus was born, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. From Matthew 27, then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. 700 years before Christ was born, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. From Matthew 27, when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony of those who are bringing they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. 700 years before Christ. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crucified for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we're healed. Fulfillment, but they had him flogged and handed him over to be crucified. From Isaiah, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Mark chapter 15, they crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. From Isaiah, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. From Luke 23, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. 1,000 years before Christ was born, the psalmist records, he trusts in the Lord. They say, let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. The fulfillment from Matthew. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. 1,000 years before Christ was born, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. From John 19, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. Next one. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. From John, the soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. From 755 BC, in that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I'll make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. Fulfillment, Matthew 27. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. Jesus fulfilled every one of the more than 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah. The chance of that happening, if you use compounding probabilities, is 1 in 84 with a lot of zeros. 1 in 84 times 10 to the 99. Now, just to put that in perspective, if you were to cover the whole earth with white ping pong balls, all right, covering the ocean, covering all the land, covering North America, South America, all the continents, covering the whole earth with white ping pong balls, and amongst the white ping pong ball, there was one red ping pong ball, and you dropped it in somewhere on the earth, and you blindfolded somebody, and you said, okay, you have one chance to get the red ping pong ball. That is the same as what it would have taken to fulfill all those things. That's even worse than the lottery. Wow, yeah. No chance. Even the prophecies that were around just the 24 hours around Jesus' death had one chance in 537 million of being fulfilled. That's kind of like saying, okay, I've got a friend. I haven't seen him in 30 years. All I know about him is that he lives somewhere in North America. Don't know where in North America. Here's my cell phone. Would you call him for me? And you punch in a random number, you have as good a chance of getting my friend as those prophecies around the 24 hours of Jesus' death being fulfilled. Now, these are great statistics, but what they tell us is this. First of all, your faith in Jesus is well placed. We live in a world that scoffs at faith, but your faith that Jesus is more than just a man from history, just a nice teacher, just a wise man with a lot of good sayings, it makes sense to believe in Jesus. And we sing sometimes a hymn called, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And Jesus calls us his friend, and he calls those who would follow him his friends. But Jesus is not like the friend next door. If the prophecies tell us anything, Jesus was no ordinary person. Our response to him matters. Sometimes I think we take Jesus for granted. We love to hear the Jesus stories. He was wise and good. He taught us what God is like. He taught us how to live for God. He died and rose again. But sometimes it's easy to say, I've heard that. I take that for granted. He wants to be your friend, but you can't tame him. It's unhelpful to imagine him as a white, middle-class Canadian that values what you value. He wants to be your friend, but don't expect him to conform to you. Jesus, being God, knows more about your computer and your cell phone than you do. Our latest science, and there's some pretty incredible stuff being discovered, is like child's play to Jesus. It's unwise to relegate him to the position of a quaint person from history. Unless you have been mentored by Jesus, then don't assume that your views on comfort and happiness and pain and power and popularity and even spirituality are the same as his. His perspective is different than our cultural perspective. When you read the Gospels and you hear Jesus saying some challenging things, some hard things, some demanding things, you might find that being a friend of Jesus is uncomfortable. But what we've seen today is that the Word of God tells us that he has the right to say him because he is no ordinary person. Jesus was more than just a wise man or a good man or even a great man. He was and is the Son of God. As the Bible says, in him the fullness of God dwelt in bodily form. You can take or leave what I have to say. You can take or leave what your friends have to say. You can even take and leave what great people have had to say through history. But you can't dismiss Christ that easily. The fact that he was a legend ahead of his time gives him unusual authority to speak. He can speak about how life needs to be lived because he has created life. and watched it through the centuries. And he knows how we are made and what we need and who we need. He is the master of life, and he has the authority to speak on life. So when he says, if you try to gain the world and lose your, you'll lose your soul. But if you give your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll gain real life. It may be not be the common wisdom of our day, but it needs to be taken seriously because, well, Jesus has seen, Jesus has made life. We can go back to the previous slide. When he says, you must be born again, we need to find out what he means and follow what he says. When he says that you have come, that he has come that you might have life and have it to the full, he has extraordinary authority to do that. I love Advent because we get ready for the coming of Jesus. But it's not a sentimental or a weak Jesus that comes. It's the Jesus who was a legend before his time, and he comes with authority and power. Our response to him matters because Jesus was no ordinary person. Our response to him matters. As you prepare for Christmas, will you keep your ears open to what he has to say to you? Will you take him as he is? Will you move towards him and take off and offer his friendship? It may be uncomfortable sometimes, but it's good because he was no ordinary person. And our response to him matters. Jesus, when he comes to you, he will have a presence and a power to transform us. You are in the presence of the one who was before the beginning of the world because he was no ordinary person. He's trustworthy and he's faithful. He is good and he is great and he cares about you. He came for you. This one who defies the odds, who is such a statistical improbability that he is no ordinary person, that he was and is the Son of God. He comes to you, and your response matters. Your response matters. When you hear him this season saying, come to me, make time for me, listen to that. Jesus gives us free will. He knows who he is, but he always stands in the posture of invitation. I invite you to come. But it's worth taking him at his word and moving into his presence. For your response to him matters. Lord Jesus, on this first Sunday of Advent, and as we remember who you are, I want to thank you that you're no ordinary person, but you are the Son of the living God. Help us, Lord, in this Advent season to respond to you well. When you invite us to come and open up our lives, help us to do just that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.